You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on CBD. We're going to get into Gil Brandt's article in just a second, where he lists one of the Browns as a player that you can count on in 2015. But before we do that, we're going to go to the phones, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And we are going to go to Johnny B. And you know where he is, Pittsburgh. We won't hold that against him. What's up, Johnny B.?
Wow, thank you so much, guys. I'm addressing this not only to you guys, but the Browns players, Coach Pettine, and the whole city of Cleveland. As you said, this situation not only gets blown out of proportion, but I've never seen a great football city as Cleveland. And at the same time, I've also never seen such maybe incompetent, but also no talent media. And it's to the point where I live in this city with a team here. I've been a diehard Browns fan for 34 years. I drive 3.5 hours. And to me, this is my bucket list. This is heaven. And the sad thing is if you don't believe, or if you're that negative every day, same old Browns, just give your tickets back and don't even go. Because, like you just said, I think here's what happened. Johnny Manziel has never had a coach as Mike Pettine, and he's never had a camp or been put to the limit like this. And it's so unfortunate because I have to live in this town every day. But then when you see the circus, and it's not from you or Mary Kay, but it's so unfortunate because when is enough enough?
That's the question. And listen, until this team wins, they are not going to have any media capital in the city. And that's just kind of the relationship that the media in this city, you know, not, and I'm not singling out, I'm not just generalizing, you know, everybody. There are certain people that I think, you know, have certain slants and are better and more objective, and other people who like to just drum up the negativity because it does play in this city first and foremost. But in general, I don't believe that this team is going to get the benefit of the doubt, nor will the players that are drafted by this team get the benefit of the doubt until this becomes a winning organization.
I agree. I agree with you in saying that. And I pose this question back to you for comment is, do you think a lot of people are going to lose jobs when this team actually wins and there's not a whole lot of drama to write about?
No, because this city will be...
They're just going to be a bunch of Uncle Toms and, you know, and write the big articles and, about winning and how great it's been and, you know, the journey.
This city, as much as it likes to consume the negativity right now, is dying to consume the positivity. I really think they will. If the Browns become a winning organization, the Browns turn into the Patriots and have a decade-long
run. Oh, I know
run,
the fan base
but
will
then,
be
so
that
the
way.
So the media will be fine. It might be hard for them to, you know... admit that things are going well, but I think
they'll be reading between the lines like
flip
with a microscope.
Yes, they'll flip. I think they'll flip very quickly on this team. And it's interesting, though, because some people's entire shtick will go away. Their whole shtick is based on...
What makes
on,
them them?
Right.
What, you know, why they get their clicks, why they get their eyes on their articles. You're right, we'll go away.
Sure. So it's, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out when this team does win, but... That's a great if to have to deal with. They need to win, and that's what we need to see.
100%. I agree. Thanks, Johnny B.
Johnny B. Let's
I got
go
respect
now.
For you, bro.
Let's go to Joe in Columbus. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm not normally a negative guy. I think the team has made great strides in talent this year.
Yep.
But when you take this situation where you've got all the challenges of the height and the style of play, then you find out the guy's had arm problems and soreness back to high school, and you make it a number one draft pick. That's crazy. The only thing I can agree with that you said when you said it was time to move on is I may agree it's time to move on, but I think I'm taking it a little different than you are.
I think it's just very early to say it's time to move on from Johnny.
Well,
It's not like it bothered him in college. You never heard about sore. I'd be very curious, you know, to find out exactly what Mike Pettine meant by that, you know, if it's something that it's just something that's bothered him, but it never caused him to miss time, or if it's caused him to miss time in the past. It's clearly not anything structural at this point. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. My approach with it is we're taking a wait and see. I'm disappointed that I don't get to see Johnny Manziel play in this preseason game because I think this was his one opportunity in the preseason to play with starters against starters.
I agree. And if you look at the, you know, the last, what, 6 months with Johnny Manziel when it comes to football, it was kind of bad at the start of OTAs, small baby steps, you know, throughout OTAs and then in minicamp from a showing that still, you know, loomed a very large question in entering camp. But then, as you mentioned, with extra work, with, you know, guidance and tutelage, you know, John Gruden and so on and so forth, and throwing and trying to master a lot of what he has to learn here in the NFL game, coming to camp, it's been, I reference it a lot, that compound effect, a good day, another good day, another good day, a good showing in a preseason game, and then not a great showing in the second preseason, but a better showing in the second game.
Yeah.
And you're looking forward, as you said, to seeing him take another step and then have a significant amount of playing time in that Chicago Bears game to solidify his role as a player on this football team. Eliminate a lot of the questions, and you know the questions will always loom because it's not the real thing. You know, he's not playing, he's not starting for this football team, but you wrap your head around what type of player he is, the fact that he's learning, he's studying, and you can see that on the football field. So what we're essentially eliminating is one opportunity to see growth out of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, that's what's
with the good and the bad. You know, how he bounces back from a bad throw, a bad play, an interception, whatever, come out the next drive and show us that you shrugged it off, which you have to do as a quarterback in the National Football League, to go out and lead us again.
That's what you want to see. And listen, he wasn't starting week one. That's why I say ultimately it is not that big of a deal. It's interesting to see that it's almost like this has become a huge thing because camp had been so boring.
Yeah.
There hadn't been any stories. And now it's, oh, Johnny's elbow. And it's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate. Truth of the matter is, time will tell if this is a story or not. As of right now, everything that I've been told, it's not a story. Time will tell. If it is a story, it's a story. It's a story. It will be. Fine.
Look at the call list. We got we'll take Troy and Zaneville down in Tony. We got downtown Tony wants a second chance.
Downtown, I don't know about
you.
Downtown.
You want to go to Troy?
We'll go to Troy.
Let's go to Troy.
Okay, I was going to say, because downtown Tony, he's very passionate today.
Okay.
And it's funny. Now I say that, and he's not on the board anymore. So, well, Tony, you might have lost your chance, buddy.
Okay. I love passion. I'm very passionate. But there's a great passion and there's a bad passion.
He was the first ever Bozo of the Week, Downtown Tony. It's a new segment coming to Cleveland Browns Daily.
We got to come up with like a Twitter avatar for Bozo of the Week.
For Bozo of the Week submissions. Yeah. We should give the fans one submission too.
There you go.
I like it. Okay. All right. Let's go to Troy in Zanesville, though. What's up, Troy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I don't know about this Johnny thing anymore. Just getting a little old. I was just wondering, Zach Mettenberger from the Titans, do you think that's a possibility if we'd explore a trade for like a fifth-round pick? And you think he might be able to come in and help us if we don't get a quarterback?
I wasn't a Mettenberger fan, and we talked about this yesterday. I want to go big or go home at quarterback. I'm not a Mettenberger fan. I didn't like him coming out of college, even though he had two very good receivers to throw to in Jarvis Landry and, of course, Odell Beckham. I wasn't a big fan of his tape. Slow in the pocket. I thought he had a long, elongated delivery. Good arm. Not that accurate at all three levels.
Is there somebody that we can go out there and get maybe with a trade?
I don't know. I don't know if there is anybody out there that we can go out there and get. You know, the guy that I would want to get, because I think he would be the cheapest, but I actually really, really liked him, was Aaron Murray. But I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. I don't know if we're going to be able to go and get a guy like that. I don't know if you want to. You've got McCown. You've got Johnny. Next year's draft, believe me, if Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel are bad, you're going to get another crack at a quarterback.
You are.
If you don't see it this year, you're going to have an opportunity. They're probably going to have 11 picks in the draft, and they're going to be able to go out there and get a quarterback. So it's, to me, the answer lies either with Johnny Manziel or it lies in the draft. Again, I don't think it lies with, you know, a Mike Glennon, a Zach Mettenberger. You're not winning a Super Bowl with Mike Glennon or Zach Mettenberger.
You're not.
So I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Are you trying to win football games or are you trying to win a championship? And I know if you polled, you know, those that matter here in the building, it would be winning a championship because everything else, you know, doesn't even matter.
No, it certainly does not. All right, let's go to Don in Solon. What's up, Don?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
Good. This thing is all generated in my mind by all the different media types, especially the goofballs that are on before you guys.
This is true.
Because they all got their narrative. Everybody's got a narrative. The team is basically saying this isn't a big deal. I mean, who knows for sure if they're telling us the truth? But the thing is, I'm going to put my faith in them before I put my faith in this Cleveland media anymore, because they're just, you know, hell bent on stirring the pot just to keep their own, justify their own existence.
You're absolutely right.
In regards to Mettenberger, and I'm hearing this Mettenberger and Mike Glennon, you know, simple thing here, unless I'm missing something, those teams draft 1 and 2?
Yes, and they took quarterbacks.
And Marcus Mariota, 1 and 2?
Yes.
I mean, if Mettenberger and Glennon were that good, would they have done that?
Exactly, and that was the point I was making. If you think you have a franchise quarterback and you're a team that's picking at that stage in the draft, you have other issues that you would address, and you would take them.
I would think so.
Right.
You know, because neither one of those. I mean, Mettenberger is in his second year, and I think Glennon is too, second and third year. I mean, I would wish that fans would just try to, you know, do the research and watch for themselves instead of being told. You know, told what to think by the media that never played the game. But that's just my thank you for letting me vent.
You got it. No worries.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. 216-578-0850. Now we've got Mike in Youngstown. What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, I just want to call in. I'm in the car a lot, so I get to listen to the different shows, not the later ones, but since I've been coaching fall baseball again, I get to listen to a bunch on the way home. But I really appreciate this. I'm not saying it because I'm on your airwaves. I really appreciate the fact that you guys mix things up every day. You try to give us a perspective that we, as fans, you know, can't see or don't understand. And I agree wholeheartedly with the other guy. I like the show before you. I like Riz. But, you know, sometimes they go to the extreme, to the overboard. Where, you know, you got to play if you got a bad arm. You're a quarterback. It's fighting for your job, and you're kind of secure. You're not going to go out there and throw with a bad arm. It doesn't make any sense. And you're not predictable, your show. Like, the show coming up, you could predict that McCown's going to be bad, and, you know, Johnny should be playing every minute of every whatever. You guys just do a great job. Keep it up. Thank you very much. And give us the perspective that we need.
You got it. Thank you very much. That's kind of what we strive to
do.
Right?
I mean, listen, the truth of the matter is we're not told what to say. We try to break it down the best we can with the knowledge that we have and, you know, our closeness to the team, being around and involved, everything, your history as a former player and what you know about the game, and just try to bring a nice perspective to what's going on. Obviously, we want the Browns to be successful. And listen, the show before us has a guy who played in the NFL as well and was a three-time Super Bowl champion in Gerard Cherry. I think he certainly loves the Patriot way and is disappointed that this has not been the case here, just as I am and just as you are and just
correct.
As everybody listening is.
Yes.
And I think that's fair. When you're used to having success, you're used to having success.
Yes.
It's got to be tough for you as a former player to see an organization trying to find its success.
It is. And that's why, you know, for me last season coming in the middle of the year, you know, how great was it to go on a run and be in the playoff hunt? And you could hear it in our voices.
Sure.
You know, you could see it in our faces, the confidence that we walked around with. And that, you know, we emulate this city because that was everyone walking around this town when we were, you know, tied for first in the division and in some cases potentially controlled our own destiny. And we all know what happened after that. But there's a sense of optimism that you have to have to be a sports fan. You know, you're always going to root for your team. You're always going to root for your team the same way that the caller earlier, you know, turn us off or don't buy the tickets or don't get the jersey or don't tune in on Sundays. Go find another hobby if it's not going to be, you know, at least from the start of the football game or the start of the season, to have some sort of optimism when it comes to your team, because they're your team for a reason. You know, you latched onto them as a kid. You know, you like their color, whatever it is. You know, come at it with at least, you know, a positive light instead of some bit of negativity, which is due because of the lack of winning around here and the high turnover rate. But the one thing that I don't like and I don't appreciate and I'll never do is I'm never going to be a spin master. You know, there's a reason why I don't have Twitter, because I don't care about clicks. I don't care about followers. I don't care about monetizing, you know, my take on the radio so that people like me more or hate me more, or it's a little bit more sexy or out there so that, you know, people tune into my radio. I'm going to tell you like it is because I've been there and I'm sitting in this chair for a reason, you know? That's right. And that's why I enjoy doing what I do. And I had that conversation earlier with Kevin Griffin. You know, I'm lucky to do this for a living, to talk about a game that I love and share with all of you the insights that I have.
All right, 216-578-0850, and we're glad to have you here, Matt Wilhelm, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan in Syracuse, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man, for having me.
You got it. Thank you.
Hey, born and raised in Ohio. My father remarried later on down the road. That's why, obviously, I'm calling from Syracuse. But as long as I've been a fan, I went to the Browns camp last year, had an awesome time, and one of the fans there, whatever, Hoyer, was coming up, and I had a Johnny Manziel shirt on, so obviously he wasn't going to come over, whatever. But I wanted him to take a pic, and I left him alone. You know what I mean? I let it go how it may or whatever. And a guy came up and said, oh, last year he came over, he was signing autographs, whatever, whatever. And it was just negative, you know? And I looked at him and I said, as long as I've been a Browns fan, no matter what, as much as you want to see them succeed, you want to see them fail. You know what I mean? And just that mentality's just got to go. You know what I mean? I mean, Johnny's putting work in the offseason now. Went down and seen John Gruden. So that might have been a little bit of what is developing now. You know, I don't know every aspect or whatever, but it just, you know, everyone's just got to chill, man, and take a step back. I mean, they got a nice young team, and hopefully, you know, I'm still hoping that they're going to go, you know, to the playoffs. Every year, or whatever.
Of course, that's exactly what you hope. That's exactly what you hope. My question, and you know, people who are getting mad that, oh, well, he said it's gone on since high school. He didn't miss a high school game with elbow. He never missed a college game with an elbow. In fact, he gutted it out and played. And I guarantee you this, at least from talking to people, if this game Saturday, if Johnny Manziel was the Browns starting quarterback and there was a game Sunday that was a real game, he'd be playing.
Right. And he wouldn't be a liability.
No.
Because of his elbow.
No. The guy played.
For the first time in his entire life.
Questioning his pain tolerance.
Right.
Do you remember what he did at Texas A&M? Like, do people remember?
I don't.
He's a tough, tough guy. And he's going to. It is, to me, knowing that he had an opportunity, and I believe, you and I both believe, you know, from kind of reading between the lines, he would have had a chance to play with the ones this weekend against the ones.
Yeah.
He would want to be out there.
Of course.
I think that it's just they're trying to be smart about this and not create a situation where one could exist, given that they don't have to. It's the preseason, and he's not supposed to start week one.
You're right. He is. And this is the first time, I mean, between last year and this year, that he's never been the starter. You know, he's been the starter probably at everything he's ever touched when it comes to sports, or been the star, you know, at every level. And his teams couldn't sacrifice missing him. And so he played, you know, through pain or played with a sore elbow and was still very successful. And at this point right now, when it comes to this organization, he's not the starter. So his impact on the game as the backup for this team is minimal. So to take this opportunity to get 4 or 5 days of no throwing to alleviate that is kind of the situation that we're in.
Yes.
You know, and as you mentioned, good thing he's not the starter.
Good thing he is not the starter is right. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this, including hearing from Mike Pettine his words right from the horse's mouth about Johnny Manziel.